This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
And now, a yak.
Yak!
You have 5 seconds to turn down that dial, because you know what I'm about to do. Blast some Bose speakers into my microphone. All right, you've been warned. It's my new intro. B. Kennedy, 404. Salute. Crown and the MOB. Love my people. Let's do it. That's probably my favorite part of it. Black, white, let's like a nation. Let's do it. If this was a radio station, I would keep playing it, but it's my podcast, so I can't continue doing it. But it's got to get you in the mood, because it's getting me hype. I'm getting into it. B. Kennedy 404 did it. Oh, wait, hold on. Let's go back to it for a second. It's kind of got that CeeLo Green kind of aspect to it, like the CeeLo Green feel. All right, let's kill it. All right, let's kill it. Welcome back. That's your intro. I'm making my own intro. Until the people of the Yak meet my demands and make the intro for me, I'm going to do my own intro because I like it. B. Kennedy 404 did the damn thing. I want to know who this person is. I thought maybe it was like a Bobby Kennedy kind of salute, but then it realized that he's got like a Bob Dylan avatar. So I don't know what's going on, but 404 clearly he's repping Atlanta. I don't know. It's a real anomaly. Shout out to the varsity, though. Shout out to the varsity. That's right. I've been there. You covered the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for years. So I've been there. I've been to Atlanta where the players play and ride on things like every day. I am your drunk uncle, Onward Richardson, and welcome back to your Drunk Uncle Sports Podcast. I am that guy. I'm the host. I'm the only person here. If this is your first time listening to me, it's not like the Orange Buds podcast. But first and foremost, I'm going to be solo the entire time. Secondly, I will be cursing a little bit. I've tried to eliminate the F-bomb. I feel like a pretty good job last time. I kind of went effing and this and that. Like, I'm trying to slow down on the F-bombs going forward. So wish me luck in that endeavor. Don't know how successful I will be, but I'm just trying to slow it down. Okay, man, I got so many things I want to get to, but you guys know it's your drunk uncle. And here's the main thing that you want to know: what's your drunk uncle sipping on today? Because you know I got that Red Solo cup, baby. Check this out: I ran out of my vodka, so I had to go to my stash. Okay, I gotta go to Twin Liquors today. Total Wine. Why did I say Twin Liquors? Total Wine. Gotta go to Total Wine today. I haven't had anything to drink yet, which is really weird. Okay, so it is 896 Barbados rum. It's been aged 5 years. It kind of has almost like a woodish type of taste to it. I got the gold, by the way. Very good. Very good. Love it. Very good. So I'm sipping on that as I'm doing my podcast. I'll go get some vodka from the store today at some point if I have time. I'm busy. I am busy. This is supposed to be the off season. I jinxed myself. You remember, guys, I was telling you, I think, which podcast was it? I don't know if it was the last one or the previous one. And I started talking like, yeah, you know, difference between covering the NFL and college. And one of the things I talked about was kind of having more of an off season and not having to really worry about free agency. Until now, I'm covering free agency in college football. Like, oh my goodness, this thing has become wild. It's wilder than I imagined. And remember, I kind of talked about it. There's two things that are going to be relevant for this podcast today. There's two things, there's going to be more than two, but two interesting things is that some of my recent podcasts has been Source Wars, however you want to say that. And, of course, I talked about the Transport Porter to Hell. And I feel like that is really, really, really relevant for this podcast. Because if you haven't listened to them, go back and listen to them. I felt like Source Wars, there's a real accent that comes out when I say that, right? But I feel like Source, it sounds weird when I say it. I don't want to say it. S Wars really was relevant to a lot of things that happened on Wednesday. And you would just have to play the tape. I'll get into a little bit of it today. I don't really like to get into a lot of that meaty stuff because, at the end of the day, you guys don't care about the inward battles and things like that to happen. You just want your information, and that's what I'm here to do. I'm just here to provide it for you. And then Transfer Portal to Hell, basically, that's where we're at. We're in this Transfer Portal Hades type of thing, and literally I am now covering college football free agency. Like, that's what I'm doing. I am covering college football free agency. I was up on Wednesday night, I want to say, like, until, like, 11-ish or so working. Kids kept coming in. Hey, man, go somewhere, be somewhere, do something, go to sleep. I don't know. Ask your mom. I can't hold the kids. I'm getting, like, some PTSD. Shout out to my guinea pigs who are sitting right here. And shout out to my shih tzu who's a little bit further away sleeping. But anyway, we have a lot to get into. We really do. I didn't really anticipate us being, talking about the quarterbacks again, but it has to happen. It's going to happen because that's just the news of the week. That's where we're at. In fact, that's all we're probably going to talk about for the rest of this week, possibly the beginning of next week, but then really all of camp. That is going to be the subject. We're just going to talk about quarterbacks for a while. And it's a great thing because one thing you should know about me by now is I love to write about quarterbacks. I love to talk about quarterbacks. And guess what? We are going to go quarterback heavy. You ready? Let's do it. All right. So let's start with what the news clearly is, right? Everyone knew about Cameron Risen and Casey Thompson in the transfer portal. And then I was able to report on Wednesday night that Cameron Risen was going to, depart the program. Now, that didn't really come as a surprise to a lot of people. Didn't come as a surprise to me. He already took an official visit to Utah on Tuesday night. He was planning to have an in-home visit with the coaches from Utah. So for him to wake up on Wednesday and decide, hey, man, this is where I'm going, I'm out, wasn't a surprise to me. What's interesting about it, though, is that, of course, Casey Thompson is in a transfer portal. And as I am recording this, Casey Thompson still has not made a decision as to what he's going to do, still hasn't made a decision about his future at Texas. I was told as of Wednesday night and Thursday morning he had not made a decision. There were other reports out there that said that he did, right? And so, of course, what happened is, sometime in the morning time, Casey Thompson decides to blow up those reports and says, I haven't made a decision, blah, blah, blah. And then he's kind of really irritated, ticked off. I feel for the young man, right? You're trying to make a decision. It's a lot of pressure. It's almost like kind of recruiting part two. And you got things out there that's saying you've already made something, you've already done something, and you haven't done it, or you're waiting for the right time, and you don't want someone to steal your thunder, or he doesn't want other coaches to find out certain things. Like, for instance, let's say other coaches have been recruiting him and talking to him. He doesn't want it to be that everybody else, the way they're finding out is by Twitter. The way they're finding out is through social media and him not having the decency or the respect to call them back and say, hey, just so you know, I appreciate you recruiting me, but this is my decision to make. So that's why I can understand him being irritated. And that's why I think Wyatt Orange Buzz, we're always really careful about how we report and when we report and being smart about it. And just so you know, remember Source Wars, like I had so contrary stories. And did not decide to, contrary to what this guy reported. Like, man, stay in your own lane. Just do your thing. It's funny because when I came out with the story I'm gonna get into the Shane Bichelle aspect, but you know, of course, the Cameron Rising Shane Bichelle stuff. You know, I saw people on Twitter say, "Well, you know, university hasn't confirmed it, and or Shane's not in a portal, and you know, these things haven't happened yet." It's just kind of that little like it could be wrong. That's just like it could be wrong because you know my person didn't tell me. It's like, man, stay in your own lane. All you got to do is just do you. You don't have to worry about contrary. This is where I wish guys would get it, man. You don't have to worry about contrary to what this guy reported, contrary to what other person reported. You don't have to contradict anything. Just do you. Just report what you report. Report what you know. But you don't have to. It's that little. It's just a little dig. Just a little dig. And I see y'all. I see you. It's all good. I got nothing but love for you. Got nothing but love for all you guys. Seriously. But I am taking notes. Oh, your drunk uncle. Oh, he taking notes. Drunk uncle may have made a phone call or two. You know, I handle some stuff behind the scenes. You know, that's what I do. I don't really talk about it. I got to be about it. So anyway, so Cameron Rising has decided to leave. Casey Thompson is trying to figure it out. And it's just such a weird conundrum because, you know, we talked about this on the Orange Book podcast, but it's a hard thing, and maybe I'm just getting older, and maybe and this could be a part of the aging process more so than my memory or lack thereof, you know, more so than me my lack of sleep, which freaking doesn't happen. I'm becoming the old person that the kids are like, Dad never sleeps. Every time I go to bed, he's sitting in his chair. When I wake up, he's in his chair. Dad never sleeps. Like, that's the old guy. Like, the kids go use the bathroom in the middle of the night and they see the TV because Dad's downstairs watching TV. Like, that's what I apparently am becoming. At least I have a younger wife who will probably be able to cash in on a good life insurance policy. But not for a long time. Only a good time, young. But where I'm struggling at, guys, this is where my struggle is. I'm okay with guys leaving, right? I'm okay with, you know, I say, like, life is short. You got to be happy. Go do you. Go do your life. Enjoy your life. That I totally believe that. And then there's the other part of me that struggles with a freshman transferring after 1 year. Remember I said, like, in the last podcast, like, you're still using the GPS to get around the city. Like, how could you know that this is just not the right spot for you? What could have happened in such a short period of time that you're just ready to bolt? And so that's my struggle. It's like, and then I don't know if these two feelings can coexist with each other. I don't know if I have to be on one side or the other of it. I feel like both can coexist. I feel like I can say, man, I want you to live your life. And I want you to be happy, and I want you to do what you want to do. And if this is not the place for you, you want to do something else, go ahead and do it. But I also feel like on the other hand, I can flip it around and say, yes, but you should still try to battle through. You should still try to work things through. And you know what? It's still a little bit too early. And you maybe you shouldn't make this decision right now. Maybe you should give it another year and give it some time and see what happens. At least wait to get past the spring or the fall or something like that. Like, you're going to sit out a year regardless. At the end of the day, you're going to sit out a year. So I get it. Am I going to sit out? Am I going to sit out a year? Am I going to, you know, and sit and at least I know I can compete for something else at some point? Or I'm just going to sit here and know I can't compete. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get it. I get it. It's an interesting decision that they have to make. I just wish from a personal standpoint, you know, they would give it a little bit more time. I wish that Casey Thompson would say, hey, man, you know what? That was just year one. Let's see what happens. I wish Cameron Rising would have done the same thing, but it hasn't. You know what? We'll see what happens. We'll see if Casey comes back. Like logic says, Casey Thompson probably comes back. That's what logic would say. You know, at the end of the day, he's going to be the number two guy on the pecking order after spring practice. So that logically makes sense. But you know what? If you're asking me to make sense of an 18 or 19-year-old, bro, big bro, little bro, I'm trying to tell you, this bro cannot do that. I'm just so far removed. I got a daughter. She's 10 years old. She'll be 11 this year. The stuff she tries to say to me, stuff she tries to show me, I don't know what the hell she's talking about. I try to tell you, I can't help her with her homework. I'm looking at her like, I don't know what this is. I'm out of school. That's you. You better ask your teacher. That's why we live in the suburbs, so you can get a good education and get one of them damn teachers to help you out. Don't ask your daddy about that stuff, huh? Doing that math. She was trying to show me fractions the other day. Dude, seriously, I can't add those things. I literally forgot how to add fractions. Seriously, if you had told me to do fractions, I could not do it at this moment. You could tell me, now granted, I can probably figure it out, but it's going to take a while. The struggle is going to be real. I'm just letting you know. The struggle is going to be real. It's going to be evident. It's going to be on display, and it's going to be ugly. So anyway, I wish those guys would have stayed. And I think in some ways, and I don't want to be disparaging towards them because, you know, these are young men who have to make the decisions. But I think it still is a bad look. Like, I just think it's a bad look just because, you know, they're not going to care what the people on the outside think. But what it looks like is shying away from competition. And that's the one thing in sports you always want to feel about, especially as relates to football, that you're not going to shy away from competition. Like, you want somebody to say, like, hey, I'm the best, I'm better than you, and I'm going to show it. Or, let me get on this field, let that guy get dinged up one time, and I guarantee you, the job is mine. Like, that's what you want. That's not what is happening. And what this free agency / transfer portal is really doing is making things a lot easier for guys just to say, man, I'm good. I mean, the transfer portal is such an interesting thing because the transfer portal is at the point where a guy can literally show up. These guys show up next. They're going to be here this weekend. First day of practice is, meeting is on Monday. The first day of winter conditioning is on Tuesday, right? They can literally come in on Tuesday and say, like, hey, man, put me in the transfer portal. And it has to be done. Like, is that crazy? And then they have to stay in there. And I just think that and I told you this before when the transfer portal thing, we're seeing the beginning of chaos. And we haven't really even seen guys trying to really, really game the system. But wait till that comes. Whoa. Whoa, whoa, and whoa. All right, so Cameron Rising, he's out. Casey Thompson, we're waiting to see what happens with him and then what he does. The more interesting thing out of all of it, though, occurred with the other nugget, because I think no one's super surprised by it, but you still get caught off guard when you hear it. And the other thing that would end up being a major thing was Shane Buechele deciding that he's going to transfer. Not a huge surprise, of course. I want to make sure that people understand something because there seems to be a little bit of a misunderstanding as relates to Shane Buechele. I just want to make sure we're all on the same page here. Okay, Buechele is definitely in the transfer portal, but he's not going to leave the University of Texas until he graduates, which is going to be in May. He still wants to get his degree, wants to get his diploma, wants to finish up. And then he wants to leave as a grad transfer. Now, but here is the deal. This is what happened. This is what occurred because I've talked to people who are close to Buechele, so I have a pretty good understanding of the situation. What Buechele thought process was, okay, I'm going to leave in May. But if I wait until May to announce, all the roster spots might be gone. There may not be anything left for me. So what he's decided to do, which I think is actually a really cool move, really smart move on his part, was to say, okay, just put me in the transfer portal and I will let me finish school. And if you will, then it's all good. So they decided, it's like, not a problem. Put him in the transfer portal. He appeared in there on Thursday morning, as I reported that was going to happen. And Shane Buechele is good to go. Now, there's a couple of things. What I don't know at this point is Shane going to be allowed to practice with the team? Or is Shane going to be a guy that's just going to be going to school there? Like, I don't know that. We'll find out. Second thing that's really is a really interesting thing that when I spoke to someone close to Bushell's relayed this to me. I thought it was a really, really fascinating factoid. And really, you whatever your opinion is of Tom Herman, it's going to be, I think this, whatever you think of him, this Tom Herman, who is a hard ass, that Tom Herman who kind of comes across and, you know, doesn't always come across in interviews. People misinterpret a lot of different things about it. And I think they, because they pick apart and analyze everything. Now, Tom Herman, who talks a really good game. Like, honestly, as I do more digging about Tom Herman, dude's kind of soft sometimes. And I don't mean that in a bad way. Like, I mean that like in the dude who's with his old lady and he watched The Notebook and kind of got sentimental. Like, that kind of thing. So maybe soft is not a good thing to say. Maybe, he has a soft side. Is that better? He has a softer side of him that he doesn't show because... So here's what happened. You know, apparently as Bushell is communicating to people at Texas, hey, I want to transfer and this and that. And they're like, okay, we totally respect that. Not a problem. And Bushell apparently offered to pay his own tuition for the last semester so he could finish up his degree because he was concerned that, you know, you could, that his aid would be taken away, his scholarship would be taken away, because when a guy goes in the transfer portal, coaches are within their right to take away a scholarship. Like, they can do that in a heartbeat. And what I was told and was communicated to me was, Sam, that's not an option. You will graduate from University of Texas. Your scholarship will remain untouched. Do your thing. Not a problem. And this is not the first time Tom Herman's doing this. Like, you know, I brought up the John Bonney thing, and I haven't said this enough publicly, but I'm going to say here on the Yak, don't want to get pissed off. Don't run to the freaking message board like, hey, they're giving out more information on the Yak than there are in Orange Bloods, and then someone's going to get pissed at me. I'm in the moment. I'm sharing my story. I've only had, two sips right now? I'll do a third, and there'll be more story time, huh? Okay, so check this out. When John Bonney decided that he was going to announce that he was transferring to Texas Tech, see, this is what happened. I want you guys to read in between the lines. Read in between the lines. Hear what your drunk uncle's telling you. Because the one thing you know about your drunk uncle, sometimes I spit and I know I go into all types of different directions, but when I bring it home and tell you something, like, the one thing you know about your drunk uncle is, if your drunk uncle is telling you something, this drunk uncle, your drunk uncle onward, It's going to be pretty damn accurate. Like, I pride myself in trying to be accurate. I really pride myself. I feel like it's my badge of honor. It's the one thing that, like, I feel like as a reporter, as a journalist, you know, that you have to have. Like, you just, your accuracy has just got to be there. That's, I try my best, right? So just listen to this, right? John Bonney sits down, you know, with coaches at the University of Texas. And he tells them, hey, guys, in August, hey, guys, just want to let you know, I want to transfer. I want to go to Texas Tech and, you know, to go into such and such program. And, you know, and I'm wanting to leave now. And the coaches say, OK, no problem. We're not going to block you. Tom Herman has the option to block him. At that time, you had the option to block him. Tom Herman didn't block him from going to the Big 12, a school or anything like that. Let's go back to what I just said. Let's go back. Ready? John Bonney sits down with the coaching staff and says, hey guys, I want to transfer to Texas Tech and this is what I'm going to major in. Now, here's your question. Are you catching it yet? When the heck did he have the conversation with Texas Tech about joining the program? Is it clicking? Yeah. So think about that. And the staff could have been like, wait a second, dude. You've been talking to Tech while you're on our roster? That don't sound right. That's some BS. Oh, hell no. No, you ain't going nowhere. Because if you go somewhere, we're going to blow you up. Or, you know what? Go ahead and go there. It will blow up Tech. And they did it. They let it go. See, it's an interesting side of Tom Herman that you don't get to see. But as I do more reporting on him and more digging on him, I'm like, huh. Okay, I get it. And you know what? You know when I talk about certain things may coexist? Like Tom Herman may be that guy who has many layers to him. And maybe that's really what it boils down to. Like Tom Herman has many layers. Like Tom Herman is a phenomenal coach. He's a funny, charismatic guy, but he can be serious at times. He's very intellectual, but he might curse you out if you get on his bad side. You know, he might curse you out, but he can be a soft guy who's going to help you out. Like all those things might just be in there. But the softer side is really interesting. I'll be quite honest with you. All right, so you're done with Shane Buechele, right? And you know, God bless Shane Buechele. He came in here, and you know, he was a guy that you know. I'm probably going to write something in my Sunday Pulpit, so I'm going to think about a couple of things. But he came in here, you know, he didn't have the career that he probably anticipated having. I mean, that Notre Dame game ends up being his biggest moment at the University of Texas. But you know what? He's going to be a Longhorn. He's always going to be remembered as a Longhorn. And no matter what, like Shane Buechele was the bridge to Sam Ellinger. But Shane Buechele was kind of like the bridge that, and kind of that thing that Texas needed after years of mediocrity at the quarterback position. They just needed someone to give them hope, someone that could give him a little bit of stability. And listen, Kansas is on his record. Forever will be. The turnovers in Kansas will forever be on his record. But you know what? At the end of the day, he's a good dude. You know, and I know Texas fans are going to be hoping for the best for Shane. I think it's going to work out great for Shane. I've gotten calls from people last night. You know, drunk uncle trying to work, drunk uncle trying to drink. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, drunk uncle, why are you calling me? And I got calls from coaches last night, seriously, no lie, asking me about Shane. You know, and of course I got nothing but good things to say about him. And, you know, to ask me what you know, is he going to immediately want to play? And it's like, man, why are you calling me, ask me that? It's 10:30 at night. You asking me if a grad transfer is going to want to start? Like, how you got this job? You know what I'm saying? You know I get country. When I get country, you know I'm serious, right? How you got this job? You think a grad transfer don't want to play? That's the reason why he's a grad transfer, because he wants to play. Damn it. Don't ask me those stupid-ass questions. But anyway, I got the questions asked, and people ask me tons of things about Shane. And you know, I know you'll be rooting for him. You know, I'll be hoping that things work out for him, because he really is a good dude. And I really wish he would have had more success here, just because he is such a nice dude. And to this, I'll give him credit. As a reporter, you know, this doesn't necessarily mean stuff to you, but like, I just like people who never shy away from the question. I like people who don't back down. And you know what? For a guy who went through a hell of a lot, and he did go through a hell of a lot here. And you know what? He had how many offense coordinators while he's been here, and how many different systems he's had to learn. Like, the guy's done one heck of a job. And you know what? He's going to be known as a guy who held the seat down and kept it solid for Sam Ellinger to come in here and take the torch and run with it. And, you know, he will not be forgotten. But now here's the situation now, going forward. You're looking at Sam Ellinger, who, by the way, damn it, Sam, did you have to run everybody out the damn room? Golly, Sam, on his report card, it says, does not play well with others. Goodness gracious. Because at the end of the day, I mean, goodness gracious, Sam Ellinger is running people out the damn room. Sam, what you doing in there? I mean, what you do? Are you just breaking down stuff on the chalkboard to a degree that no one else can even like get to it? I mean, are you breaking it down in a trigonometry type of status? Like, what are you doing? What are you doing in practice? Are you looking like A-Rod in practice? I mean, are you looking like Mahomes in practice? Like, what are you doing when you got guys who are like, man, I need to reconsider my life? I mean, are we going to keep it real? You got guys saying, man, I need to reconsider my life if I'm going to be at this program with that dude here. Damn, Sam. Now, if Casey Thompson comes back, Now you're talking about Sam Ehlinger, Casey Thompson as number two, with Roschon Johnson at the number three position. Now, that's your best case scenario. You got to make it work. If for some reason, something cray-cray happened, and cray-cray can happen, because I have dated a lot of women who are cray-cray in my life. I have survived. I've had knives pulled on me, been almost run over by a car. Nothing says love until you feel like someone wants to stab you in your sleep. That's when you know you're in love, baby. if you ain't never had that, like, you know, if you never just looked at the drink that she poured you and thought to yourself, this bitch might be trying to kill me. You've never been in love. You just been on that fake love, that cutesy love. I'm talking about like real love. I'm talking about like out in the street arguing type of love, breaking stuff type of love. Okay, all right. Okay, yeah, all right, now you know why, Mr. Forrest. No, I'm just, clearly some of this is joking, some of this is a little bit too personal. But you're looking at the worst case scenario, obviously, is there's only two quarterbacks, which is obviously Sam Ehlinger and then Roschon Johnson as the backup. And in that case, there is trouble and there's a bad moon rising. And now you might say to yourself, okay, well, can Texas go out and get someone in the 2019 class? And I'll be honest with you, I asked around about that very question for the past couple of days. The issue with that is, if you're talking about a grad transfer, for instance, well, what is a grad transfer going to want to do? What did I just say? Grad transfers want to play. Well, why would a grad transfer come to Texas to sit on the bench? Hey, we just need someone to sit on a bench here. I know you've been sitting on the bench over here at Western Kentucky, but the benches in Texas are just much nicer. Would you like to sit on our bench? That's not a sell. So getting a grad transfer like that doesn't help. There's really nothing, obviously, in the JUCO ranks that you want. Too late to get anyone of substance in the 2019 class. So, I mean, this is one of those, like, hey, Casey Thompson and your family, like, what do y'all like? What do y'all want? What can I do for you? Because we need you. I mean, we need you bad. You know what I'm saying? You got to go all chips in on that guy. I mean, you got to send them the best brisket that's out there at this point. You know, you're re-recruiting a guy. Like, you're re-recruiting, and it's interesting because what the staff is having to do is literally re-recruit and spend, you know, time and hours like, hey, we want you back. Hey, we want you back. Now, the good thing is if you're Texas, okay, Cameron Rising is gone. You got Casey. You got to say to yourself, okay, Case, you got the number two spot. Now, what Casey's got to figure out is, am I cool with being the number two guy for what it appears to be the next 2 years? Or do I want to sit out for a year and then compete to be the number one guy next year? So, you know, I get it. It's a thought process. He's got to figure it out. You know, and again, it's one of those things like if I'm Casey Thompson and I just look at the history of Sam Ehlinger, I got to look and say, you know what? Odds are pretty good that he's going to get dinged up and banged up. I will have a chance to play. I think I will have a good shot to play. And if you're really, really about that life, if you're really, really that competitive, you say, man, I may have the chance to play. And I tell you what, put me out there on that damn field. I tell you what, they'll never look back. I'll make it hard for them. I'll make it so hard and so crazy for them that they're going to have to keep me in there. I mean, that's the old school mentality that you and I brought up on. But again, we're older. That's just how it is. You know, there was a couple of teams, right? You had JV and varsity. That's it. And that's all you had. Of course, we also grew up in an age of bullying. So, I mean, what the hell do I know, right? We grew up in an age of bullying where you could actually get away with that. And you think back to, like, some of those bullying days. Today, they'd be called bullying. Before, we just called it life. And having to deal with that, like, oh, my gosh. And the thing about some of the stuff you said to people, like, if you said that now, think about the stuff we said when we were kids to insult each other. And could you imagine saying that now? Oh my gosh, we would be on social media and never work again. Horrible. Texas has got to figure out clearly what they're going to do in spring. Really, obviously, it all starts with what Casey does this week. I'm clearly he'll make a decision over the next couple of days. By the time we have the next podcast, we'll be talking a little bit about that and how that situation worked out. And I hopefully will have some insight for you, give that stuff to you in Orange Bloods and kind of give you some behind the scenes look as to what went down with that decision making process. So we will see what's happening and we will definitely see how that whole thing shakes out. It's an interesting situation because I don't think this is something that's just going to be unique to the University of Texas. I think this is going to be something that's going to be with this transfer portal. It's just going to be something that we're going to have to get used to every single year. And I think it's a situation where if you're the University of Texas, and really if you're any school going forward, you can't recruit one quarterback at all. You literally have to say, I'm recruiting two. And then whoever is the better of the two will hang around. And the other guy is going to go into the transfer portal after 1 year. And that's just what's going to be. By the way, last thing on the transfer portal. Outside of a couple of guys, have you noticed that most of these guys in the transfer portal are transferring down and not transferring up? I mean, there's a few guys who have transferred into good programs and stayed level. But you don't see a ton of guys who are transferring up. Like, you don't see guys, I'm in a transfer portal and I'm going to Alabama. That's not what you're seeing. You're seeing guys in a transfer portal and then going to like a directional school. Like that's essentially what's happening. Let's see what happens over the next couple of days, man. This quarterback situation is just, it's going to be the story of the offseason. It's going to be, you know, I hate to use the word fascinating because I feel like that's just an OB term that we use all the time. But it is definitely going to be really interesting because interesting sounds better than fascinating. It's going to be really interesting to see how this entire thing plays out. All right, guys. All right. Man, I got work to do, guys. Like, seriously, I got so much I have to get knocked out. So let me go ahead and do this. Guys, you have a safe weekend. Thank you for listening to me. And you know I love to thank you guys, but thank you for listening to me. Shout out to the producer, Ross, who puts this thing together. Shout out to Ketch, who also does some producing and puts this stuff together. I appreciate all the work that you guys do behind the scenes. Thank you so much. And to the listening audience, I don't have a clever sign off other than to say be blessed and God willing, I'll talk to you next week. See ya.